You're so welcome to the Roundtable Podcast, and today we have got the honor of having Andy Gamble. Andy, thanks for being here.
No problem. It's good to be with you.
You know, part of what we wanted to do when we were starting this podcast is we've done three podcasts now and conversations, and we say creating community around conversations. And one of my things has been able to get in some men and women like yourself, Christian leaders around the country, and get different perspectives, get some Irish voices as well. And so for those who don't know, Andy is married to Victoria, got two little boys, Judah and Ralph, and 18 months ago planted a church in Derry.
Yes, sir.
Also known as Londonderry. And you've got a way of kind of getting around that. What's the name that you...
We just call it the Northwest.
And you go DLD.
DLD. Derry, Londonderry is what I normally refer to it as.
Yeah.
I think that's the best way of putting it.
That's cool. How long are you married?
Good question.
Putting you on the spot now. 6 years.
Yeah. You literally asked me a question I had to think about.
And your eldest boy is...
Four now. And
four.
Like literally.
So you got quite a young marriage.
Yeah.
Quite a young family.
Yeah.
Four and two.
Yeah.
Almost four and two.
Uh-huh.
And you just planted a church.
Yes.
Brand new church.
Yes.
New name, The Hills Church.
Yes.
Hillschurch.co.uk.
Yeah.
Amazing church.
Absolutely.
18 months ago. 11 months in, what happened?
COVID-19. Is that what you're thinking? We stopped doing Sunday services as it was, yeah. And like everybody else, jumped on this amazing journey of being online.
And so what's the last 6 months been like for you guys?
That's a good question, Sean. What's it been like for you?
No, I'm not getting into you today.
No, I'm kidding. No, it's been great. I mean, like, you have to take every season as it is. The thing I love about seasons come, but seasons go.
Mm.
And I think for us as an individual, as a couple, Victoria and I think having young kids, you know, planting the church, particularly with Ralph just being born through that and being so young, I think we've kind of got time to spend with those guys and the two boys. And so for that, for a personal thing, I think we've saw the positive. I mean, the same energy focused and negative is also available when we go the positive, and I think we've done that. So I think we've in many ways we've enjoyed it. Mm. I mean, we've missed the contact of people.
Yeah.
I love being with people, like, so I'm a people junkie, so I've missed the whole Sunday thing. But as a family, as a unit, we've had a great time. Mm. And been able to go for lots of forest walks and all what you do with
that. Do you live in near a farm as well, right?
We do. We live currently in a village. We're building a new house out in the countryside on a farm.
Yeah.
But currently we live in a village. It's surrounded by farmers. My brother farms. And so we're always with the farm and the boys. They've got a little quad bike. And yeah, I know. 2-year-old drives a quad bike, but it is what it is. It's got racing in his blood.
Cool. And so Derry.
Yeah.
Not many people, they have heard of Derry. But Derry has got quite a lot of controversy towards it in terms of... It's split down the middle, Catholic and Protestant, even literally with a physical wall that separates Protestants and Catholics.
Yep.
Famously known for Bloody Sunday back in the 70s. And so there's a lot of like tension there already religiously. Yep. And in terms of, you know, what's the Christian context like, and what's it been like, you know, being a Christian, becoming a Christian, and planting a Christian church?
Yeah, well, I think religion is a big thing in our nation.
Mm.
I don't want to be ignorant to that. But I think if you're going in the context of Derry, Londonderry, I think you have to even imagine the fact that we have to say two names to keep ourselves politically correct. I mean, it's the only city in the world.
I don't think there's anywhere else like that, right?
It's the only city in the world that has two names.
Yeah.
And you know, whether you want to believe it or not, that or agree with it, that's the way it is.
Mm.
And I think it's minority that fight over that. But when it comes down to the bottom line, I mean, the Queen has ruled it out that it indeed is called known as Londonderry. We know it as Derry. I mean, we often say that. However, there is communities, and I think it's minority, that do get caught up on what we do call it. And but I think that's minority.
Yeah.
And I do think. Religion is a big thing in our city because there has been a lot of hurt, and But I think that generation is moving on, and the new younger generation like us has changed. Even Derry, Londonderry, our city, in the last 10 years, it's transformed. It's a new place. I do believe it's a new day for our city. We've had a peace bridge that links the city from Wauken, and there's a new area going up on the water side. There's actually a river that divides our city, and one side would be predominantly, 85% to 90% Catholic. The other side would have been, but that's changing as well and progressing. But the religion thing then is still a big thing, yet there seems to be a huge decline in the church.
Yeah.
Hence the feeling and the sense to from God to speak to us to start a new church.
Yeah.
Because religion is such a big thing, but yet there's a huge decline in the church.
And you've got an incredible story, and you were a professional rally driver.
Yep.
One of the most dangerous sports in the world. So just tell us a little bit about who you are. Tell us, how did that start?
I grew up. I think it's good to mention the church as well. Our church is in the city, but it wasn't our plan. I mean, we're both from. I think Ireland in a whole is made up of lots of rural communities. I mean, isn't 70% of our island made up of rural communities? So you're from Dublin, though, Newbridge, Dublin. You've got two churches there. But I suppose even in Newbridge will be slightly more contextual in terms of people coming in from the communities. Yeah. So our church, we both grew up in a rural village out in one of the rural communities, Victoria and I. And so just think it's good to mention the church, even based in the city. It is, we have a heart more though for the northwest, and that's like the half hour radius around the city. So we really feel that is our call. I say that to say we grew up in the country, to give the context. And as country boys go, we were just like mad about tractors, cars, and anything with an engine. So I've always been into something that goes
fast. How many
fast.
Siblings you have?
Three, two brothers. And John and David and my sister Louise.
Are you the eldest?
I am not. David's the oldest, Louise, myself, and then my younger brother John.
All right, okay.
So we were all into messing around, but then my dad was a rally driver. And
Wait, your dad was? Mm-hmm. Oh, I didn't know that.
There
okay.
you go. So motorsport was part of our family, and then I really just naturally gravitated to it when I was 16, and then started. It was great season. I loved it.
So, but obviously then your personality is one who likes to take risks, live in the edge.
Mm-hmm.
Anyone who knows you, knows that about you. Mm. And then not just living in a city with great controversy when it comes to religion, you decide to plant a church. Yes. Where did that come from?
That's a good question.
Why? Why?
That's a good question, Sean. I mean, I think for someone listening to this podcast, I think, we've all said never say never, right? I think everything I'm doing now, I sort of never would do. I mean, I grew up rural community, high school, left school as quick as I could, maybe a little bit sooner than I wanted to or decided to. And I got on, I started a business, actually, and that kind of went alongside the Gamble Engineering. It's a great company, still runs today. A guy called Sean MacGyver took it over, ran alongside the rallying. That was my rallying motorsport, and the engineering was kind of my two lives, two worlds. It was like a fast pace, and church was something that, I grew up like lots of people in Ireland, in Northern Ireland. I mean, going to church, and but never had a relationship, never saw any vision, purpose in it. Disconnected from the church as a teenager, and so even the context of planting a church. I mean, it was the 28th of February in 2008 when I walked into this church in our city that was a similar vibrant type of church to what we are doing now, an undenominational maybe is the language we might use, a band up front, relevant communication. So I started in 2008, really, whenever I gave my life to the
what was that like? Like, how did you end up there? How did you end up
I was invited to I was invited to go to church, and I think church, man, the best kept secret in town. It's the best thing. I was hooked from the day I walked in, but it was more I just knew that Jesus wanted to have a relationship with me, and that changed everything. And
what was going on in your life there that it gave you that feeling, it gave you that desire, because not everyone would have that.
So I was a 25-year-old adrenaline junkie, I would say. Still maybe am. I chase the rush. I enjoy new things. But I think for me, contentment wasn't there. I think, I had lots of things going on. Life was great, man. I mean, I was doing well, successful, and but I think there was something that was missing. I think I wasn't content. I always was searching. I knew there was something else out there, and even with all the buzz of sport, business, life, I mean, I was had lots of things going on. I think there was a missing part, and it suddenly just connected. It was like a literally the message on, like, I walked Crookpatrick Mountain. You will know Crookpatrick Mountain.
Yeah, of course.
On New Year's Day. And to give some context, now my mum was a Christian, always been told about salvation, but about a year prior to that, a guy called Sebastian Loeb, famous in the motorsport world, had told me, man, your driving's great, but your mind's not content. And it was from that to walking a mountain on New Year's Day in 2008, and two priests from America were over in Ireland doing a pilgrimage,
right?
And they stopped to give us some water, me and my mates, and they told us that, you know, God brings full contentment. And, you know, my mum would have told me this about, like, Romans, where God is for you, no one can be against you. Mm-hmm. Crazy, like.
Yeah.
Do you ever hear that part of my story?
Yeah, I know. I remember you telling me quite.
And literally, like, it was all like, hang on a minute, I was starting to hear this content word a lot. But I walk into the church, and the guy called Andrew McCourt, he's out in America right now, a good friend of ours, you know Andrew.
Yeah, of course.
He was speaking about contentment.
Right.
Man, I just get like, I just get nailed. I was like, this is more than just something's going on.
Yeah.
And then it was through that, over the next few weeks, I started going, hang on a minute. Like, I was kind of convinced that someone had sent the pastor Andrew like an email of me, because it felt like he was speaking to me. So I connected then. I went secretly at night to the service again, because I was like, they're not going to get me again. And the same thing happened that evening. And then, like, a few weeks later, I decided to start this journey with God. And then, honestly, I think from the night that happened, I always knew that, I think God has put leadership in my life. I think leadership is something you can learn, but I think also it's something that's natural. And I think you can spot a leader. Yeah. I mean, in my house, I can see the stronger leader already, and the boys, I mean, they're different types of leaders.
Yeah.
But I've always been marked leadership. I think leadership is a great thing, and I think God chooses leaders and wants leaders and wants to raise up leaders, and leaders are so important in all our communities in different aspects of life. So I always knew leadership was there. So I think even from the 20th of February night, when I said yes to Jesus for the first time, I knew that God was calling me to lead and do things. I just never really knew what it looked like.
Yeah.
And then we were just going, I was working things out. I was in business, still there. I was still in the motorsport world, and I just knew it was time to have a change. And actually what happened was God started speaking to me through different things. What does God speaking to me mean? Even we could do a podcast now. Three different ways, because I think that's a big statement when we say God said.
Yeah.
I really felt it was a natural thing. And honestly, the business and all started not to be as good thing. I started to lose my passion and zeal. And then I ended up researching, because I had, my academia was low, and I'm not the strongest academic, and
right.
I have no nothing to hide about that at all. But I mean, I left school with no education, so I decided that I need to study this thing better. So I decided Bible college was the route that I should take. So I actually went off then to Bible college, still not knowing about planting a church, and then ended up like being offered some jobs in churches near the end of that. And even then, I didn't go to Bible college to get a job. I went to Bible college because it was the next step.
Yeah.
I think it's a good point to make. I mean,
yeah, but I think
steps are important too.
What's really good, because I think the start of your story is what's fascinating, that and where you are now and what you're doing really stems from what you're, where it all started for you.
Yes.
But you came to that place where you're in the feeling discontent.
Yeah.
Searching for contentment.
Yeah.
You find that, like so many other people find, so many other people give their lives to Jesus, but immediately you know, right, I want to get involved. I don't just want to receive, I want to give.
Yeah.
So you have a leadership gifting on your life.
Yeah.
I
think so.
And one of the things that just struck me even when you're saying, I'm like, what about so many other people who may be watching, listening, and they've got a leadership gift in their life. They've received Christ.
Yeah.
They have contentment in him. And maybe the passion has died for business from what you used to be.
Yeah.
Maybe now it's about, you know, putting food on the table and providing for their families,
yeah,
or just that's what they know.
Yeah.
How did you make that cross? So you could see that you were going back into business and motorsport, but passion wasn't there. How did you make that cross between, you know, you have a gift, you don't know what it looks like, but you know you're also called?
Yeah.
How did you do that?
I think isolation will kill you dead, and accountability will set you free. So I think it's talking to the right people.
Right.
So, you know, who you're running with is where you're running to. It's one of my probably only one-liners that really sticks.
That's really
good. I think...
Who you're running with...
Is where you're running to.
Is where you're running to.
There you go,
to.
Sean. That's free.
That's Rob.
If you quote me in a sermon and copyright. Don't pay me...
Andy Gamble.
I'll kill you. I just think... even like you and I, like we had breakfast today. We hung out. We had lunch together, just talking. So I just think it's so important. Like you out there, leader, man, there's so many leaders, I think, that don't really get the leadership gift fully doesn't get drawn out of them, because I think we all fully, like, it can become a, is this me a feeling arrogant thing, but I think it's so many people, particularly if we're talking about in the church, like that are in business worlds, that are in different aspects that they, like, so in your church, is Open Iron Church listening right now, go and talk to you, talk to the right person. So I think for me it was like, it depends, like it's like the girl in X Factor that sings and then the guys tell her that she's rubbish, yeah. But they tell her, like, my mom told me I'm amazing, you know, if you're asking the right person. So I think
that's good.
Speaking to the right people that are going to tell you the truth, but actually not what you want to hear, but what you need to hear. And for me, I went speaking straight away to my leaders and going, hey, man, this is what I'm feeling. I remember going for a run with my pastor, just talking out with him. And I think that then, because if you're getting the go ahead from then you know it's kind of, and for me, it was like getting it's the right voices. I think you need to get the right voices in your life. And for me as well, I think there's some friends that you got to let go of, and there's some people that you got to hunt down. And I think I went on a journey of hunting out the right people that was going
to
take me on the next
journey. Very practically, because as well, just what you said, you're all friends. You're obviously a networker. You've got friends all over the world. But when you were making that decision to follow Jesus and then, you know, leave business, enter into ministry.
Yeah.
You had to also not only gain new friends, you had to let go of old friends. How did you do that?
I know what I've learned in life. I think one of the things I've learned is there's people you know and there's friends. And I think that I've realized the longer I get in this road, I mean, at 37, I think there's a lot of people I know, but there's fewer friends.
Yeah.
So in reality, I probably changed the world of people I knew. I think the friends I've some great friends that I've some friends have not. I have a load of friends that came with me in the journey of following Jesus, and I have a load of friends that didn't.
Right.
And honestly, they're. I think my answer is I think, just to repeat what I've said, maybe go backtrack a little bit. I don't think I've ditched too many the word, like, losing friends to gain.
Yeah.
I think certainly about the people I knew.
Well, you've not allowed their voices to reign loud in your life.
But there was people in my world that I went on. And when you change worlds, it's just the way it is. And in the motorsport world, some guys I don't see anymore. Business world, some guys I don't see anymore. But there's some people I've kept in contact with. But you have to kind of hang in close to strong leaders when you transition like that, because it was a massive transition, even to go to university. Like, I mean, I'm strongly dyslexic, ADHD, and all these different letters behind my name. And even learning how to study and stuff was a journey for me. And even then, you have to get a new bank of people that's going to take you in that journey. And so I think it's always key important to get the right people around you that are going to tell you what you need to hear, not what you want to hear. And actually, they've got some common sense as well.
Yeah.
So it depends who's telling you what.
Well, what I've seen for you is, you know, because I know many people's excuses is, well, I don't know who to go to.
Yeah.
And you like, well, I'm going to find who to go to.
Yeah.
You have this desire, you know, I'll make it happen.
Yes.
And I think that's a great kind of attribute to have.
Yeah.
And also you have this ability and desire to learn.
Yes.
Right. I don't know how to do this. How can I find out how to do this?
Yeah, even like right now, working at this, like you're doing this podcast thing, I'm thinking we got to start doing this the hills. I'm sitting with you. We got to do your staff today, hang out and watch. So like, just get off your backside and go and ask someone. But I think it's easy saying that too. Some people can feel isolated, insecure. And I was too. Like even the thought of going to plant a church happened for us in Colorado. It wasn't something like... I think one of the good points for me to make in this podcast that I've just thought about when I'm speaking to you is steps. I think it was Dave Gilpin said steps belong to God, leaps belong to man, or steps belong
either
to man,
around.
Leaps belong to God. Isn't
Very
it?
Good, yeah.
I mean, so I've always just been a guy who's just taking the next step.
Yeah.
So like the next step was to go to, like, my steps look like, I met Victoria actually, I gave my life to the Lord, met Victoria, and then it was like the next step to Bible college. And even then we had to make a huge decision in our relationship because I was going to England. So we did a long distance relationship for 3 years. But then it was like I came back home, I got married. Coming back home, I took up a job as an executive associate pastor in our church at home, and it was a great season. And then we just knew our time was up there, and then we just took the next step, which was Colorado. And then it was in Colorado where, like, it was a crazy sequence of events that told us, hey, it's time to go and plant this church now.
Yeah.
But we always thought we would have done something like a church plant, but we've seen it like 10 years away. But I think what speeds the process up from them 10-year dreams is what slows the process down is we so many have the 10-year dream, but we're not willing to take the one-day step.
Very good.
Or the 1 second step. And I think that it's going to be a phenomenal opportunity for you to listen to this podcast or in your life. Yeah, it's great having a dream, but what about tomorrow?
Very good, yeah.
So yeah. Take the step today. Right now, like even you're listening, text someone saying, let's get a coffee. Like the amount of people, I'm hoping that there's about at least a dozen in the size of your church even that will text you for a coffee, because there's probably even some leaders that you don't know. Some people in your church doing some amazing things that are God have blessed them with finances and resources and attributes that you really need for your next season. And I think even like if they would just take the step, because not only when you take the step will it help you, but that's the incredible thing of leadership. Leadership's not about me, it's about everyone else.
Yeah.
And when you take the step out from in God through with leadership, not only will that bless me as the person that took the step, it'll bless every single other person around them. And suddenly you've got this thing called growth and reaching more people for Jesus and seeing people's lives change and connect to their God-given purpose. So we took the step. For me, steps look like I stepped into a church, I said yes to Jesus, I met a phenomenal person called Victoria who quite frankly keeps me right in every single way. I'm saying this on this podcast, I'm gonna get credit for this, surely. Come on,
brownie points.
Brownie points are going everywhere. But you know, marry the right person, you know, like decisions, like I mean decisions we make today is a story we tell tomorrow. Went to Bible college, came back, like I had to decide then. I went to Bible college not to get a job in a church, but end up thinking I was coming home to open a Subway in our local shopping mall, thought, hey, this makes some money. And then God started like opening up some doors for ministry.
But you had a flexibility. That's what, you know, you
and
had.
And coming back home and then Colorado and then church plant.
Yeah.
But it was through the steps. It wasn't like none of these things have happened like a big bolts of lightning. It's just been simple, obedient steps that taken.
And huge. Mixed with the right voices.
Right voices is key.
Yeah.
I think it's huge. Like, I think a lot of us say God said and God can help, but actually, Who are you even navigating what God is? Like, so many people feel that God is saying or God is speaking or God are reading in their Bible. But you got to navigate that wisely.
Yeah.
And I think doing it again, I would even do it wiser again. Like, I would approach transitions differently. But, yeah, that's maybe enough with that.
And, you know, one thing that you said there about at times feeling isolated and insecure.
Yeah.
You know, so leaders, especially driven leaders, are known for running ahead and often leaving others behind, in particular those that they're closest to. I know for me and Jill, I'm 10 steps ahead, and have left her behind rather than going slower than I'd like and bring her along and my team with me and others and enjoying each step. But in this particular season, not just leaders but people in general, have many of them felt isolated and insecure. How have you dealt with that in your own life?
That's a very good question, because I too am insecure. I too think everyone else is this and that, whatever. Like, that's a good question. How am I dealing with insecurity?
How do you battle with that isolation, that insecurity? So feeling alone, and then probably you feel like you're doing something but maybe feeling like it's not worth anything.
So like even when it comes to communication, like I as a learner, like I am, like even you and I, we study. Like you're talking today about studying for a full day. I would never do that.
Right.
I study in an hour batch and then I move on. Like I could not sit for one day and study. That is, maybe I will get there, but it's not who I am.
You gotta do the way you do.
So I study different. So I think it's just like, you've just always got to celebrate who you are and who God's made you, because believe it or not, God made me this way.
Yeah.
And I think he knows a little bit more than about it than I do. And actually, I actually do have, because our church is all about connecting people to their, we believe every person has a God-given purpose, and discovering that purpose is connected to a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. The Hills Church exists to connect people to Jesus Christ, therefore their God-given purpose. That's in our mission statement.
Yeah.
It is our mission to connect people to their purpose. But I think so many people aren't connected to their purpose, not because they haven't got a gift, it's because they aren't able to accept their gift.
Very good.
It's all about accepting your gift, because believe it or not, you're one of the gifted, most gifted people I know. So I want to get around you more. Like even this weekend, I was buzzing to come up and hang out with you for the day, man. You're a relatively newer friend, like our relationship, but it's like it's super exciting because, man, you're like, you've got so many attributes that I seek after, like how you carry yourself, even how you eat breakfast is like slow pace. I'm like, this guy's eating slowly. Just hurry up, Sean Booth. I'm like, come on, let's eat. I mean,
you want to get indigestion.
You're way through thinking, your strategic mind, your leadership gift, the way you preach, the way you teach, the way you structure things out. So I just think that's incredible. That's got to stop there, though. I got to glean from that and go, wow, and then celebrate you.
Yeah.
But in the same context, go back home going, but the challenge comes whenever I leave your company and go, oh my gosh, or listen to your preaches, or because everybody, believe it or not, we don't really fully grasp the fact that God has given us a gift, and that gift really counts, and it really impacts people, and it can help people advance and get further in their purpose and in their life. We think that the enemy will always try and take us in that we've no value and what we say doesn't count. Well, no matter of fact, we're all incredibly gifted and different and unique in our own God-given way. So it's me trying to accept who I am and journey and keep continuing that.
Yeah, and you know, what's funny is I'm thinking all the same things.
Same things.
You know, and so even as you even say those things, I'm like, you hear that even about yourself and you go, but those are the things that also restrict me.
Yeah.
And so what I see with you is you're able to go, wow, Sean, if you listen to this person, he's amazing. You should learn from him. And I'm like, oh, I didn't even know about him. Because sometimes for me, I'm so down, my head is down, focused on me and developing me that I need to lift my head up to see what others are doing, which is not only going to help me, but celebrating others.
Yeah.
And that's what I think you're really, really good at doing that, is kind of celebrating other people. And I think in the church world in particular, and this is why I'm excited about having young leaders in Ireland leading churches, that we're not divisional.
No.
Like, you're in Derry,
but
I can celebrate what's going on in Derry as much as you can celebrate what's going on in Newbridge or South Dublin.
Yeah.
And I think that that's the people we need, to celebrate the gifts in one another.
Yeah.
I don't need to be like you. You do not need to be like me.
No.
And I don't need to be like you, but together we actually can become better people and glean from one another.
Yep, I agree. Because I think we all take a 5-minute snapshot of the best part of everyone else's life, and then we compare it to the worst 5 minutes of our own.
Yeah.
I think that's what we all do, particularly on social, the gram, everyone. We go on his and her page and we see the highlight reel, and we forget our own gifts and our own personalities and our own children, families.
Social media is definitely an area that you've challenged me on, and I think you're really good at it, because your heart, and this is kind of what I want to finish up with you and talking about this particular thing, your heart bleeds for people to come to know Jesus.
Yes.
Like, that's
absolutely
100%. Cut you through. That's what comes out.
Yeah.
And I love that you're so certain about that, that everything lines up right. I could do this, I could do that. But does it lead people towards Jesus? No. Yeah. Right. I'm not going to do that.
Yeah.
What I love about your social media, because I think so many people, especially those of us who are watching or listening to this, are social media savvy, but we don't always know how to use it.
Yeah.
And what I think you've kind of come across is, I want to use social media to show others who I'm really like, not who I want others to think I'm like. You're really good at that. Tell us, like, how do you do that?
Well, firstly, thank you. That's probably news, nearly. I'm like, I just think I'm me. And I think I have God has given me a grace, which has been a journey for me. But I have this thing where if you like me, that's great. But if you don't, best of luck. which doesn't always pay off in political situations. I've learned to be more calmer to that approach. But I just think this is who I am, and this is who God's given me this gift to be. And Like, I think I have an incredible purpose. I have an incredible call of God in my life. I have an incredible journey. God has given me great people around me. He's given me a great wife. He's given me so much. He's given me two children. And this opportunity to see an incredible church. Like, the northwest of Northern Ireland, Ireland is the best place in the world to live because it's got the best people in the world to reach. And I don't look at it as a challenge. I look at it as an opportunity. So my social media, like I do think social media is it's so negative yet so positive because it's such a great opportunity. Yeah. So how do I do my social media? I'm just me and I just try. I mean, like I could do better at posting. I think the reason why I don't post so much on social media is I can't be bothered to write things or write captions. I just put pictures. I love Instagram stories though, because people love to see who I am. They love seeing my kids grow
up. But you use that even as a pastor and as a leader to show others the behind the scenes of your family.
Well, I think everyone wants to know who everyone else is.
Yeah.
I think we love to see, because I think the world, social media has made us so much wider, but it has made us so much narrower.
Mm-hmm.
So I love to see what other people are doing. I love to see what famous people are doing. I love to see what, or I love reality. Like, reality TV is the most watched thing right now. I mean, that's the most sought after thing on any platform.
But one thing in particular, what I like, and this is, you do this also so that it's particularly people who don't know Jesus.
Yes, but I think a lot about that.
Well yeah, that I love thing. That. That's an area that no one
so
thinks
like,
about.
I always think about language. Believe it or not, even though I am. I've talked fast. I hope everyone down this Dublin area has understood me. So I just think it's so important that we say at the church all the time, we're here to reach people, and then we're here to relate to them. And then we're here to release them and to all that God has got for them, and then we're going to retain them in a local church and see them grow
love
up and
that.
Follow Christ for their lives. So, but reaching is something that we all want to do, but do we relate? And relatability is everything. If it's not relatable, well then, and I think for us, we've specifically said we're on mission to see people come to know faith. We saw over 100 people come to know God since we started the church.
Wow.
We send out starter packs every single week. So it's in our language. Everything we do is pointing people to Jesus.
Yeah.
Like, so, like everything. Even my language, I'm slower to post more stuff about, because some people feel that that's great, they have a platform to reach Christians and teach the Bible and go that way. And at the whole church, we believe our preaching is good. We believe it's teaching. We call it life transformational teaching as our language. Yeah. But for us, primarily, it's got to relate. So what will my friends at work think about that post? And on our church page, anything that's posted is always to navigate people to see Jesus. Because I just think it's so important.
But what's even more transformational is that that's a culture that you want to carry out throughout your church.
Yes.
That you don't have to be the pastor.
Yes.
To be able to relate.
Yes.
To your friends and family.
You don't have to be the pastor.
That's so good.
And
though.
I think, because I don't look on and critique, but I just think in my page when I'm going to, like sometimes I do post about the Bible or I'll post about what I read. But even then, I'm always thinking, like, what does this mean to someone that does not know, has not read a Bible before? What does that mean when I say I'm praying for you? How do I execute that well? Because like, God has positioned me in the northwest of Ireland to reach people for him. And I know that people are watching us, because I think this generation has stopped listening, but they're watching. And I think it's just such a huge opportunity. So why not use it as a positive?
Yeah. Well, we love you guys.
Yeah, we love you
and
too.
And Victoria and the two kids. And,
what is
just one thing as we finish that you would say to encourage someone else who maybe is right back at the start where you were, you walked into church, you gave your life to Jesus, or you're at least you were exploring, searching for contentment.
Yes.
And has a leadership gift or a calling, you know, maybe not to be a full-time ministry, but just to serve, to serve God. What would you say to that person?
So if I'm talking to someone in Open Arms Church, or particularly if you're in a church right now and this is you, talk to your leader right now. Tell right now, get your phone, because you're probably watching it on your phone, and just send, you can go Facebook Messenger, WhatsApp, you can go message. We could go all day on platforms. So you have no excuse. So arrange a coffee with someone. And that's like in your church, it'll be small group or life group or group leader. It'll be someone who's running the volunteer thing. It'll be someone yourself.
Yeah.
Speak to a pastor. Speak to a leader around you. And get a coffee. And just like standing at the edge of the pool, jumping into the water, because the enemy out there wants to keep you where you're at.
Yeah.
Because you're too good to be, you're a danger to him. So if you're insecure right now, you're feeling anxiety, you're feeling a little bit of pressure about that, I wouldn't be surprised about that. Mm. I would say I'd be encouraged about that. Yeah. I would say you're just being kept, and you are an incredible person. I think people are listening to this are going to, this is going to help people.
Yeah.
So like, just get a, just come and talk to like Sean Booth, message him right now, annoy him and say, hey, I want to get a coffee because I've got something going on in my life and I want to talk to you. I want to take a step.
Mm.
And I think when you take even that step of texting, it's going to be incredible how God is going to fast track the next conversation.
Yeah.
Because for me, like, I'm blown away that we've launched a church. I'm incredibly blown away.
You're still all alive.
That's happened, and it's all
you like, have your hair.
I have my hair, even though I, yes, will not go there. So I just think it's incredible what God does with our steps. So yeah, just take that step and chat to someone.
Yeah.
But I think that's someone. Who's that someone?
Mm.
I think right now, if that's open, a church context, a leader, a person you trust, someone you've had a coffee with, Sean Booth, the pastor, some of the pastors here at the church or your church, get a talk and get on the journey, like, because there's so many different things out there that you can get involved in.
Yeah, excellent. Well, thanks so much.
Bye.
Love your story.
It's been great being here.
Yeah, and thanks to everyone for watching. And next week, we're going to continue on. We're going to have another conversation. We're looking at pursuing health, physically, spiritually, emotionally, in every area of your life. Have a great week. We'll see you next week.